This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, homeroom. Wow, homeroom. Here we are again. We're back, Johnny and Jess, my two favorite friends. Glad to see you guys made it here today on homeroom. You know, after a long weekend, sometimes you wonder if, you know, possibly might be thinking that there are, you know, other places to relocate and show up, which wouldn't be here in the morning. I don't know. That's, you know, thinking about it. But Johnny, how you doing, friend?
Man, I'm doing great. Great way to start the week. You know, lots happening in the world of education. I mean, not just to say the least, you know, most weeks are that way, but especially the past week has been a doozy, Tim. So excited to start the week off, chopping it up and hitting those big headlines with you both.
Yeah. Jess, how are you?
You know what? I love starting my week off with homeroom. And I especially love being able to tune out of the news over the weekend as much as possible, get myself some breathing space, do some regulating, and then come back with you educated educators to talk some education. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, you know, you guys put it that way. I'm kind of like, okay, then I am glad I got up this Monday morning and decided sharpen my pencils, pack my backpack and head on in, sit down at my desk and get ready for homeroom to hear what the rest of the week has got going for us. Jess, I hear you got some news for us though, right?
I do. You know what? Let's start off on a low note and then, you know, maybe we'll go lower. Who knows?
I was going to say.
I know, I just said we're coming in and, you know, it's a brand new week. However, we do need to actually check in on a couple of things. Brand new report came out at the end of last week. This is coming from Axios. U.S. once again hits new low in World Happiness Report. The big picture. The U.S. ranked 24th in the 2025 World Happiness Report, one spot lower than it did last year, when it likewise broke a new record low. The World Happiness Report, powered by data from Gallup, noted that the, quote, increasing number of people dining alone is one reason for declining well-being, end quote, in the U.S. 2024 marked the first year that the U.S. did not rank among the world's 20 happiest countries since the report launched 12 years ago. Its number 23 ranking last year was 8 slots lower than it was in 2023. Quote, there's been no recovery in terms of young people's perception, end quote, says Julie Ray, managing editor of World News at Gallup, on the continuing decline of this measure. In fact, the number of young people who said that they believe that they have the freedom to choose what to do with their lives fell 10 points between 2024 and 2020 at the onset of the pandemic. Well, there's another quote I wanted to pull. Where to go? This paints, quote, a bleak picture of perceptions of the U.S.'s future and viability of the American dream, according to Ray.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
That's it.
Oh, my. Wow. Well, I guess the parallel here that makes me think about this is not only are children suffering from learning loss, but our country as a whole seems to be suffering from happiness loss. Although I don't see any like headlines that seem to be calling out, you know, like the National Guard to do something about the fact that America continues to drop in the happiness. How do we begin this day? Just, I think it's more important though, too, when you point this out is that the feeling of young people in this moment, put that together and how that kind of situates you know, young people, as we approach them in schools, what are they thinking about? How are they, you know, making sense of the world? And here we kind of go, you know what? It's not good. And it's not getting better. In fact, it's getting worse. And, you know, for some people that say, you know, wow, you know, this is just an opinion poll and da 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 da. I don't know. There's a lot of science in this when you bring it back. You know, I will just point out though, too, guess what though? Can you do better? Well, think about this. Finland, what is it, the 8th year in a row? They are the happiest country in the world. And in the 40s, they are considered one of the worst places to live, and they move up into the first place. People like Finland, it's cold, it's dark. Hey, guess what? It's cold and dark, not all the time, but what is it about those countries? And in the top 10, what is it that's happening? Maybe there's something to learn there. I don't know, Johnny, are you feeling 24th?
I mean, yeah. Makes sense to me. I mean, it doesn't seem to be too, folks don't seem to be too happy. And I would say just anecdotally, you know, I've had a number of folks in conversations about things, just life in general, you know, chopping it up with the neighbors. Like they said, you notice people seem to be more angry than ever. Well, yeah, man, people are in fight or flight mode. The economy is in bad shape. I mean, debt is at an all-time high. Things are uncertain. Yeah. So it makes sense. Seems about right to me. And layer that on with, you know, the way young people talk about the future right now. And I'm not blaming them because young people, they are the future. I know they're going to do great things with our country and this world. But at the moment, they are feeling like they don't see themselves in a bright future between climate change, between the political climate and the constant conflict of things. You know, they're just this tracks for me. Tim, you brought up like the climb that these other countries made. Just a little civics lesson. I remember we've talked about it on here before. FDR, Second Bill of Rights. A lot of those folks who post World War II envisioned, you know, to eliminate poverty and to bring general quality of life up in the United States, you know, jumped ship and went to those social democracies in Europe when it was seeming like it would be impossible to do here in the United States. So where are they, you know, so many years later? Well, they're in countries, you know, helping to develop policies around human rights, children's rights, and social democracies. So as we continue to make that not an option for either Democrats or Republicans, we continue to drop in our general happiness index. So, you know, this all tracks for me, and just a little lesson for folks out there. You know, I know it's not class in session yet. It's just homeroom. But look it up, Second Bill of Rights, you know, that big initiative to end poverty, to increase wellness and overall well-being in the United States, you know, didn't happen. And a lot of those architects said, we're going to go where we can make that happen. And they did. And look at, we're seeing some powerhouses in the happiness area over there.
Yeah, you see that. And, you know, you made me think of something else. You know, it's like the young people, right? I mean, the youths are not feeling happy. And you say though, but you know, but they're the future and we want them to do great things. And what's troubling here is that they got to be inspired, right? And I don't want them to be inspired by dread. You know, it's and that's kind of like, it's like, you know, we're going to figure this out. And I don't know. It's not, you know, when we're talking about doing what's best for our kids, setting them up to be the solution, you know, to dad and granddad's anger. It's just, it seems unfair. And it seems to me at this point that grandma, Aunt Susie, you know, the neighbor across the street, it's actually everybody's responsibility kind of take that burden away so that kids can feel that motivation to realize that what's in front of them is something great that they can actually take advantage of and then make better. Although we're having a tough time because if you can hear here, what I'm saying is so education's really important in not just setting up people, you know, for the economic success, but it's how do we move them forward to actually create a better sense of the world. And just in the world of education, something else is going on.
Indeed. Last Thursday, our president signed an executive order. So this reporting is coming from the AP. Trump orders a plan to dismantle the education department while keeping some core functions. Now, we knew this was coming and we've been sort of holding our breath, waiting for when it finally comes out. And we now have it. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Thursday calling for the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education, advancing a campaign promise to take apart an agency that's been a longtime target of conservatives. Trump has derided the education department as wasteful and polluted by liberal ideology. However, completing its dismantling is most likely impossible without an act of Congress, which created the department in 1979. Republicans said they will introduce legislation to achieve that, while Democrats have quickly lined up to oppose the idea. However, even that idea is a little bit fraught, as even some of Trump's allies have questioned his power to close the agency without that action from Congress. And there are doubts about its political popularity. The House considered an amendment to close the agency 2 years ago in 2023, but 60 Republicans joined Democrats in opposing it.
Well, I don't know. You know, there's the civics lesson here that Johnny will talk about. And you say it's not class in session. It's just homeroom. So getting you acquainted with, you know, all that happened in the world. But, you know, I've kind of seen this from, I guess, people who like to remain happy and positive, you know, and trying their best to influence that happiness indicator. But it's like, Tim, it doesn't matter. Don't pay attention to the news. He can't get rid of the Department of Education with executive orders. He just can't. It has to take Congress. And you know what? Okay, that's a technical answer. You're right. But here's the thing. What he's doing is he's drowning it. He's draining it. He's cutting it to pieces. He's making it inoperable as an organization. Thereby, you know what? If there's never an act of Congress to actually do away with the Department of Education, does that matter when there's no resources or people working there to carry out the responsibilities that the Department of Education is supposed to do? So I don't see any happy silver lining in the fact that this is a congressional act that would require that would allow for the closing. It doesn't matter. He has already cut 50% of the workforce there. And now this new executive order says to continue doing that, essentially, yeah, doing away with all of the functions. I did say that there was one little update, you know, because people were asking, what does this mean? What does this mean? You know, and two big questions were student loans and special education. Right now, Trump now is pointing out that, well, the Small Business Administration is going to take over student loans. And Robert Kennedy Jr. with the Health and Human Services, don't worry, everybody. He's got special education wrapped up in the future. Johnny.
I don't know what you want me to layer onto that, Tim. You pretty much summarized, you know, what's happening. Other than the fact is, like, what the Department of Ed, you know, came into existence in 1979. And I'm pretty sure immediately following that, Republicans have been, you know, championing the to take it down. I mean, I think that was a big, I was a small guy then, little guy back in the day. But I do believe in, you know, studying federal policies, education, that, you know, the Reagan administration also worked pretty ardently to try and dismantle. So this isn't new. As you know, Mark Twain was purported as saying, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And so here we are in rhyme with some early 1980s Republican politics. The difference, Tim, what's most upsetting to me is, you know, that the reasoning here continues to put children and families, like hardworking families in this country and their children in the classrooms, in the crossfire of a political battle. not a political battle to discuss, like, how do we make education great? You know, how do we strengthen our country? But one based on this stubborn, and at this point, you know, I'm exhausted from it. And it's beyond annoyance at this point. It's actually quite dangerous to democracy. But it's this premise that, you know, the Department of Education is riddled with woke ideology. It is like, get over this business. Stop making our classrooms and our communities, the lives of families and children. These are children's lives, right? Children's lives are impacted for the worse. We started the show talking about happiness. It's actually more than happiness in this context. It's their health, their well-being, their futures is jeopardized over what? The myth that the Department of Education is riddled with woke ideologies. Please, Tim, I'll expose my own politics a little bit here. In my biggest dreams, the Department of Education is full of woke liberals. It's not. I mean, it's not. You know, so to make that political, you know, statement and to then cite that as the major reason is just another dog whistle for gathering these people who want to point blame at why we're not happy. We started the show talking about happiness. So it's like, it's a big smoke screen. It's a big pointing of fingers. And what does it do? It makes children's lives the battleground for this political debate on, like, we should have not woke people or woke people doing this job. It's like, get over it. Let's get competent, great educators in the position to make decisions to support children's and families' lives in our community. So, you know, that's the frustrating part. That's a little bit different than that, you know, 1980s reference I made with the Reagan administration. But good luck getting the number of Democrats to vote for this. It's just going to be an ongoing thing. And hey, like every week, we're going to learn more about what it means for us as teachers in schools.
Yeah, we're going to learn more. But like you said, you know, it's like, okay, you want to, I'd say that, you know, we're actually going for dropping even more in that happiness indicator here. Because the effect of this on children and families, you know, as you said, Johnny, this isn't about doing away with Marxist woke ideology and unpatriotic education. Like you said, you know, on its on its best day, I would say that department, and I would say it was very ripe with criticism, especially from lots of us, particularly in the early, you know, 2010s through the early parts of the 2010s, is to say it was maybe the biggest bastion of neoliberal education reform, standardization, you know, taking out any type of heart that any type of the curriculum had. And maybe too, I even myself probably made a little bit of an argument of saying that the federal overreach was too much in demanding No Child Left Behind and things like that. But remember, the complaint there was that they were being too progressive, too social justice oriented. It was they were being too darn standardized, too darn industrial, too darn mechanized. And I mean, that's the evidence of the Department of Education. If there's the legitimate criticism, I would say is that it has largely been supportive of some of the policies that have contributed to a much more neoliberal understanding of how the world works. Johnny, you got, what do you think? Yeah,
I mean, and Tim, again, I'm just going to point out, I'm gonna simplify this a bit from the big words. And
I know, thank you.
It's a larger cultural concern I have that this speaks to. And it's, I'm going to connect it back to the happiness thing. This is a sign of, like, happiness comes from getting back at somebody. And so these actions aren't about making the country stronger. They're not about improving education. They're about winning and getting back at somebody. It is happiness tied to an act of violence. It's happiness tied to, hey, I'm going to be happier if I get my way and I punish somebody. It's a sickness. It's a cultural illness we have. It's worldwide. It's especially prevalent and rampant here in the United States right now. But it's on both sides. Getting our way becomes more important than ultimately being a stronger country. And this is in every way about getting our way, punishing so-called woke ideology. It's sending a message out there. Hey, you don't like what's going on. You're not happy right now. Well, we're going to do something about it. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to stick it to those schools. We're going to stick it to the Department of Ed where all those woke liberals are. And a whole lot of people are misled into being like, yay, they cheer. And they say, hey, this will be great because it will localize things. It will strengthen our schools. It'll get federal government out of our classrooms. And they're just not right about that. It's moved the whole argument from actually being about being a stronger public education system in a democracy, right, to getting your way and not being happiness. So this is a bunch of tantruming people who are doing acts of harm to children and families out of the guise of like, hey, look at the progress we're making. Hey, look at what it means to take action. It actually means to do harm to people in our community. So hopefully we can, you know, like we can get into calling it neoliberal and all these other things, but it's also saying, hey, one thing we could do in an act of resistance to all this is find things that make us happy that don't require hurting yourself or other people, right? And that's not a pacifist here. I'm not saying, hey, kumbaya outside. I'm saying like, hey, this is throwing darts at each other across the table as some sort of solution, as though whoever throws the dart most recently is the winner and they get their way. It's tit for tat. It doesn't work. And we got to grow up and move past it. That's all from me.
Wow. I tell you what, I don't think I'm going to add anything to that. So everybody, you know, I hope you enjoyed Homeroom. And now for your moment of zen. If history is to be creative, to anticipate a possible future without denying the past, it should, I believe, emphasize new possibilities by disclosing those hidden episodes of the past when, even if in brief flashes, people showed their ability to resist, to join together, and occasionally to win.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom Podcast today. And remember to grab great other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website, or you can go to bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't miss out on this week's class in session on Wednesday. You can always find free throws and face-offs on Fridays. And of course, catch Busted Pencils on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.